meeting to order. Meeting is October the 10th, 2017, regular meeting of the MPC. And I'd like to welcome all that are here. We don't have very many, but welcome. Please stand for the invocation and pledge allegiance.
We thank you, O Lord, for the good weather that we're having. We thank you for all the many blessings that we have received. Look on us with your mercy, that we should make good and honest decisions today, none biased. Look on our service men and women, take care of them, bring them home safe to us. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I ask for the approval of the agenda, which is composed of notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor, please proceed to vote. Motion carries. I'd like to change the arrangement a little bit. We have Judge Timothy Walzer?
Walzer. Paul with a W.
Here to swear us in. So, Judge, please proceed, and then we can, if you wish to leave, you may, or if you're really excited about this meeting.
So. I haven't seen what's on the agenda yet, so I don't know how excited to get. May give me an opportunity to recuse myself. I understand the oath is for the officers only, the new officers. It's not for the entire board. That's the way I read this.
Yes.
All right. The new officers, then, if I could please just have stand and raise your right hand. All right. I'm going to go through the oath, and if you could just swear or affirm. Do you solemnly swear that you hold no position of public trust or private interest which places you in a position of conflict of purpose with the Charter of the Metropolitan Planning Commission, and that in accordance with the constitutions of the United States and the State of Georgia, the laws of this state, and all applicable local ordinances, you will faithfully discharge your duties as officers of said commission, deciding each matter that shall come before the commission on its merits alone, without fear or favor, with regard to any affected parties or agencies. If you affirm, say with I do.
I do.
I do.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
I probably am going to move on, but I do want to say before I leave, I used to appear in front of this body on a regular basis. I think it's been about 5.5 years since I was appointed to the Superior Court. I know that y'all put in a great deal of hard work. I think this is the second time I've been asked to swear the officers in. And when I received the request, I considered it an honor to come back over to swear the officers in. Again, I commend you for the work that you do on this commission. I will note that we don't see a lot of MPC cases coming into the Superior Court, which tells me that either y'all are doing a good job or something else is happening out there. But again, thank you for your work on this commission, and I do consider it an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
Bringing the meeting back into order. There are agendas on the table outside near the door to the hearing room. Please stand for the... there is a sign-in sheet near the door to the hearing room. Please sign the sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those of you who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of the blue cards, which I have here. Give a blue card to a speaker card to a staff member at the front table, so we can call your name at the appropriate time. Okay. We already have the agenda approved. I'd like to move into notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. And the only notice we have left to go over is October 31st, regular MPC meeting at 1:30. item on the agenda is items to be requested to be removed from the final agenda is new construction of Victorian District, 203 East Gwinnett Street. I think we need to, do we need to vote on the removal? We do.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I ask for a motion and a second.
Second.
A motion and a
second.
And second, please vote. Maybe we could switch to the voting screen, please. Can we change to the voting screen, please? Okay, let's just have a hand vote here. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Motion is approved unanimously. We'll follow up with the computer vote in a minute. Okay, we have item number four, items to be requested to be withdrawn. Item number five, the zoning text amendment. And I think we have Marcus to speak on that. Is that right, Marcus? Did you want
to? He didn't need to speak.
He didn't need to speak. Well, I'd like to hear him.
Which one are we on?
Yes.
Number five.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the request of the petitioner, this item has been withdrawn from consideration by the Planning Commission. Their intent is to work with the City of Savannah to bring their property into compliance, so no zoning action will be required.
Any questions? Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you.
On the consent agenda, we have...
You have to vote.
Pardon?
You have to vote on that.
Excuse me. I will entertain a motion for the withdrawal.
I move that we withdraw the item permanently from the agenda.
And so, I heard a second, I think.
I second.
Thank you. Please vote.
But it's approved.
It's approved? Okay. We'll move on. Item number seven, consent agenda, and there are two items. One is the September 26th briefing and meeting minutes, and the other one is the resolution of fiscal year 2019 transit planning grant. And if anybody wish to speak on that issue in the from the board. Now I entertain a motion for approval.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
I second.
Moved and seconded. Please vote. Thank you. can see that looks like it's approved unanimously. Moving on to regular business. First item is item D4, I guess it is, zoning text amendment. We'll hear from the staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This text amendment is a City of Savannah initiated text amendment. The petitioner in this particular case, and they wish to amend the zoning ordinance by removing certain density restrictions for zoning districts located within the Savannah Historic District. The intent is to incentivize both infill and large-scale residential development in order to promote greater residential density within the downtown area. Back in October last year, there were some concerns with large-scale development, particularly with hotels coming into the historic district. One of the concerns that was brought up is discovering how the zoning ordinance actually incentivizes more lodging uses over other uses such as residential. The city wishes to look at those development standards and propose some amendments, as they're concerned that this may impose a long-term negative impact on the residential character of the Savannah Historic District. In December of that year, 2016, there was a memo that was provided by the city manager. That memo asked for had two requests on it, one of them for MPC staff to conduct a hotel study. The second one was for staff to work with the city manager and the city attorney to discover ways to amend the zoning ordinance for how to incentivize residential development in downtown. The city manager also requested SDRA to conduct a study to determine how residential development could potentially be restricted in the downtown area, what incentives are promoting more lodging uses, and to provide some examples for how the city could move forward in incentivizing development, particularly residential in the downtown area. Staff looked at the zoning ordinance and discovered two main things that may be attributed to this link of providing more lodging uses over residential. Number one is density. Unlike residential uses, there is a minimum lot area per dwelling unit, as well as a maximum density requirement. This is not required for lodging uses. For example, the RIP zoning districts, which are more mixed use in the downtown area, require a 600 square foot per minimum dwelling unit size, which comes to approximately 70 dwelling units per net acre. These development standards are higher than many of the other zoning districts throughout the city because we're dealing with the urban core of the historic district. Lodging uses, again, on the other hand, do not require a minimum lot area per unit or have a maximum density restriction. And as a result, lodging uses are ultimately exempt from the density standards, which could attribute to them being more attractive for development. The second instance that staff found was regards to parking. Both hotel uses as well as the RIP residential dwelling units do require one per dwelling unit within the Savannah Historic District. However, lodging uses are able to get a 25% reduction if they're able to show that a certain percentage of their guests arrive by other means than personal vehicles. On top of this, there are some other zoning districts within the Savannah Historic District. For example, one of them being the RBC, which is Residential Business Conservation. And this zoning district, even though it is in the Historic District, does not have the same parking relief as hotel or the RIP districts. For example, they require 1.25 per studio apartment, 1.5 spaces for one bedroom, 1.75 for two bedrooms, and two or more for three or more bedrooms. Again, these parking reductions could appear to be in favor of lodging uses over residential in that aspect. The overall SDRA study recommended about 25 options through which the city could try to incentivize residential in the downtown area. 20 of these included zoning-related changes. At this time, however, the city wishes to amend the density restrictions as they saw that it was the most practical and probably the easiest way to address this issue. The city believes that by eliminating the density restrictions, this would, or believes that this requirement for density restricts the number of dwelling units that parcels are allowed on a particular lot, regardless if they're able to meet their parking or their building coverage or other development standards. By eliminating the density restrictions, this could provide some flexibility for developers to establish more different housing types in the downtown area and also provide more dwelling types in the downtown area. Fast forward a little bit to May of this year, there was an MPC planning meeting. At that meeting, there were two presentations that took place, the first one being hotels and determining the size and the location of where they're to be located in the Savannah Historic District. The second one being a presentation on residential incentives and particularly how to eliminate residential density as a way to promote more residential in the downtown area. At that meeting, there were two important issues that were brought up by this board, the first one being workforce housing. The zoning ordinance does not specifically define what workforce housing is, or affordable housing for that matter. However, the city believes that by bringing in more dwelling units in the area, that could potentially reduce the cost for building dwelling units in the area, as well as reduce the cost for people to live in those dwelling units. As mentioned in the pre-meeting, this is ongoing, and this is something that staff is considering, not for this particular amendment, but moving forward, we will look at that. The second issue that was brought up was how to broaden or to make the development standards that are existing more or stronger so that when you apply unlimited density, it can somehow be controlled. Development standards are important because they require uses to be developed in a specific way that are consistent with the historic patterns of the downtown area. The RIP districts particularly have development standards which are unique than other zoning districts in the area. For example, they require 20 feet minimum lot width, as well as can have a building coverage of 75%. This is common within the downtown urban core of the Savannah Historic District. The development standards are also important for establishing visual compatibility with regards to height. You also have important issues facing minimum lot width as well as lot coverage when looking at the visual compatibility of structures in the downtown area. Height is also an important factor for controlling the number of dwelling units on a particular lot. And new residential development, if it were to remain consistent with these development standards, could also remain consistent with the historic development pattern. So some of the findings of staff, we did find that there is one current incentive that's promoting residential density in the downtown area. It's the upper story residential use, which is allowed in the BG and BC zoning districts. It was adopted in 2015. Currently, there are a couple of, I believe, four large-scale buildings that are upper-story residential use. That's set to bring approximately 600 dwelling units to downtown. However, with that, you also have 15 hotels that are either under construction or under review that are set to bring up over 2,000 units to downtown. So that's another concern with the city. The upper story residential use is an important residential incentive as it allows for a number of dwelling units per floor area, just as long as those units maintain a 450-foot square foot minimum size. Again, that is different than the RIP zoning districts, which require 600. The upper story residential use is also proposed use in the new zoning ordinance. With the upper story residential use being allowed in the BC and BG zoning districts, those two districts do have uses that, according to the use table and use standards, do have a maximum density requirement. In this particular proposal, we're asking to eliminate the density for upper story residential so as to keep that an attractive form of development for developers over providing just standalone residential uses in those commercial areas that are established. I didn't even show you the map, but so this is the map where the upper story residential use is currently allowed. The areas in blue are shown to not have the density requirement as proposed by this amendment. So again, the upper story residential use is located in the BC and the BG zoning districts. Those two districts do currently allow some other residential uses. So as a way to not disregard the upper story residential use, we're asking to eliminate the density for that use, but keep it for the others. Along with this text amendment also proposes to strengthen some of the other development standards, particularly with not making the historic height map, which is you can see right here, not making that variable. This was an added amendment by MPC staff to control the density in this particular instance. and also establishing a minimum lot size standard of 1,800 square feet throughout the historic district. That is representative of lots in the historic district of 20 by 90 in minimum lot area, and this is to be consistent with historic preservation's ruling on what the common lot pattern and lot size in the historic district is. Another instance that's controlling this unlimited density is with regard to properties that currently have a historic structure on the property. There's a current provision that's not going to be removed by this amendment. It identifies that when there's a historic or rated structure on the particular property as shown in the areas in green, it prevents it from those being broken up into several dwelling units, thus making it more multifamily. The standard requires lots smaller than 3,500 square feet to not contain more than three dwelling units, and any lot larger than 3,500 square feet shall not contain dwelling units that are less than 900 square feet in size. So again, that's just another example. So again, the city's request is to remove the density requirements from residential dwellings in the historic district to attain their goal of encouraging residential growth and density in the downtown area. This is also mentioned in the comprehensive plan, which acknowledges the importance of promoting higher density in the downtown area. The staff believes that the proposed amendment would support this desired goal and will make residential more attractive in the future. However, we did mention one concern of staff, and that is an increase in anticipated variance requests. With more dwelling units on a historic lot, that may require additional parking. And with additional parking, if they're not able to meet it all on the historic lot, they may go and try to seek a variance. Other anticipated variants are an increase in lot coverage, as well as lot size and height variances. Again, one way to address that, we've requested that the historic height map not be variable. If they do seek, or if they do require an additional height to be made, then they could go and amend the historic height map, which is already established. Staff does recognize that with this increase in variance requests, however, each one would have to go before a public hearing and would be reviewed individually. Overall, removing the residential density requirement will promote flexibility for developers in providing additional dwelling units in the downtown area. Having more residents living in the downtown area could also prove to be a benefit to support other land uses as well. So with all that, staff is recommending approval for the proposed amendments, and I'd be happy to go through each amendment if you'd like.
Questions of staff? Hearing none, we'll hear from the applicant, which I think is the city.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think Thomas did an excellent job of summarizing a lot of somewhat complicated information, but this is an initiative that is being pushed forward by the alderman for this district, Alderman Durrance, as well as a directive that was given to us by the city manager, and actually worked with Kevin Klingenberg, who's here in the audience for the original request that generated this recommendation that came through us that we vetted. Yes.
No. Sorry.
Pardon?
I had no question.
Any questions of the applicant? Hearing none, we'll move on. Thank you. I have two speaker cards here. I see Mr. Carey would like to speak, so please come forward. Please identify yourself and swear to tell the truth.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Daniel Carey, representing Historic Savannah Foundation. I wanted to thank both the MPC staff and the city staff for sharing information with me. While this was in the drafting process, I met with Shane Corbin as recently as yesterday to kind of go over this, and we are supportive of this. It comes not a moment too soon, as far as we're concerned, And we think that the staff's recommendations of holding firm to the development standards is really important, particularly with respect to holding the height map and then the lot sizes, the minimum lot sizes. And I think this goal of trying to level the playing field between residential development and hotel development or lodging development is good. I mean, that is an important goal. We want to maintain as much residentiality as we can within the downtown area, and particularly the Landmark District, which is under a lot of pressure from tourism interests, which are important to this city, but nonetheless, come with expense and toll, particularly on the residents. So this is good. I think that the two things that I just wanted to mention that are important to keep in mind, we won't be able to solve either of them here and now, but maybe with a refinement of this, maybe this is a signal or a mention to City Council to be mindful of this, or any future adjustments that we have to make. And that is, you know, with this workforce housing, because we've been talking a lot about that, and there's a lot of sort of what I would say dictum about the importance of workforce housing in this, but I don't really see how it positively affects workforce housing. I mean, there is potential, yes, there is potential, but it's only that. I just don't see the real strong connection. So I think it's just an admonition that before we all rally around this for whatever reason, if those reasons include workforce housing, I think I'd like to see a little stronger connection between something that we know would come about sort of ipso facto because of this, we're going to have more workforce housing. I don't see that. I see potential, but that's it. And then the other thing is just making sure that with short-term vacation rentals, and I know we have an ordinance for that, and we have a registration, and we're monitoring that, but those will be even more difficult to monitor in a situation where you're building multiple units in a multi-story building, and you have a lot of sort of neighbors who don't know each other, and there's just a much greater potential or higher potential for abuse of that, where people are having illegal short-term vacation rentals. And I think it's really just something that we have to be mindful of, and the city should always try to stay a half step ahead of that, because I think if we get more of these apartment buildings constructed, I think there'll be a lot more use or abuse of short-term vacation rentals. So that's just something to be aware of, and hopefully we can stay current with that or keep pace with that. But otherwise, appreciate staff's efforts on this, and we are supportive.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have another card from, you have a question?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh. Daniel, what's your opinion about all these variances to the height map that have already been passed?
Well, we agree that they really have, we agree that ought to be tightened up. I think that there have been many variances, and that the height map exists for a reason, but it seemed to just be almost a guideline, because with the frequency of variances granted, it was just a speed bump on the way. So I think that too has been addressed, and we support that.
Well, that's my point. I mean, why even have a height map if it's not the rule? Why even have one?
I mean, that wasn't an arbitrary process either. That height map came about after many years of input by professionals and hoteliers and residents and alike. So, yeah, I think it's a good height map, and I'll be honored.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I have another card from Mr. Thickenberg. Could you introduce yourself and
sure.
Swear to tell the truth?
Good afternoon. I do. My name is Kevin Klinkenberg. I'm the Director of Savannah Development and Renewal Authority. I want to thank the Chairman and members of the Commission. Probably no big surprise, but I'm in favor of this petition. I do want to speak on just a couple of things that I think are relevant to this conversation. I always think, you know, I mentioned this when I was before the commission the last time, it's important to keep in mind where these regulations came from historically. And most of these regulations were put in place in the 1950s and 60s in cities all over the country as a means to plan for suburban style development. Okay? They were overlaid over our existing urban neighborhoods because that was the only tool that was basically used in that era. And so they were intended to produce a spread out, low density type of city. So that's fine if you're building in the suburban areas and that's what the goal is. But for urban neighborhoods, you need different tools and a different understanding of how they work. And in urban neighborhoods, density is not a bad word. It's important to know that density is incredibly important for urban neighborhoods to stay affordable, to have local businesses that can succeed, to have things like grocery stores, and the kinds of services that residents would like to see in their neighborhoods. And the only way to permanently keep a place affordable that is an urban neighborhood is to allow for supply to meet the demand. And we're in a unique position now in Savannah where we have incredible demand. We have demand from the tourism industry. We have demand for people moving here, from people relocating from other places. And we need to be able to accommodate that demand with new supply of apartments and other forms of development, or else the prices will just continue to escalate and you'll end up with a tiny, tiny sliver of the community that can afford to live in these neighborhoods. So that's just a little bit of background. I think it's great that we're here. I really appreciate everybody's hard work. I think, you know, this is a really big step for us. I do want to reiterate that this is an issue in basically all of the neighborhoods that are north of Victory Drive. And we will at some point have to come back and deal with and talk about those other neighborhoods as well, many of which are seeing substantial development pressure, as you know, today, with lots of infill and redevelopment. And we talk with developers on a routine basis who would like to be able to build more apartments and more affordable, you know, workforce housing, or call it, you know, mixed income housing or middle income housing, whatever you want to call it, that are developers who really want to build that because they know there is a market for it, but they are restricted by a lot of our density limitations and our parking restrictions, especially, that make it very, very hard. It's not that those things can't often be worked through, and we have staff and the commissions and others who try to work with applicants, and that's great. But the problem is, if the process is unpredictable, a lot of people don't try, and then they build the easy thing that they know that they can get approved and move on down the road. And so if we want these things to happen, we have to make them easy and more predictable. So lastly, I'm a designer, I'm an architect. Design has always been incredibly important to me. I wouldn't for a minute suggest that we get rid of our design and development standards. We have those for a reason. Design is central to why Savannah is a successful and desirable place to live. So the height standards, you know, where the development standards that talk about the footprints of buildings and all of those are very, very important. And I support where we're headed. But we do have to look at some of these rules that we put in place in other neighborhoods as well as we move down the line. So I want to thank everybody and thank everybody for their hard work on this initiative.
Thank you. I'm going to open up to board discussion or questions. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Please vote.
Vote on it.
see. Looks like we have one nay and the rest of the person. Motion passes. Moving on to the next item of business is, D1, text amendment. Charlie, I think you're going to be speaking on that.
Next item is also a City of Savannah petition. It relates to public notice requirements, and the request is from the city to ensure that the notice requirements for both map and text amendments are consistent with the minimum state law requirements. Right now, the city differentiates properties that have three or more acres from properties that are less than 3 acres with regard to map amendments. So there is a requirement that anything less than 3 acres have mailed, posted, and published notice. So the request of the city is to only have published notice, and that would be before city council for map amendments. And then related to this are also some amendments that relate to the notice requirements. With regard to published notice, the items that have to appear in published notice. So we've made some adjustments there to the ordinance. So basically, this is really about just making sure that anything that's submitted by the city or on behalf of the city, if it's an NPC study, for example, that it would have to meet the minimum state law. And again, that is noticed before the city council meeting in the Savannah Morning News. And it would be required at least 15 days, but not more than 45 days before the council meeting.
Any questions of staff?
Yes, what is the law call for now, Ms. Moore?
In the local ordinance or the state law?
Both.
State law is 15 days published notice in the Savannah Morning News, not more than 45 days, and that's for map and text amendments. Right now, for map amendments, it's a little bit different. Anything that's 3 or fewer acres would be required to also have posted and mailed notice. And mailed notice would be to any property owners within 300 feet. So the mailed and posted notice requirements would be eliminated, and it would be published notice only.
Any other questions, staff? I guess we'll hear from the applicant, which I assume is the city.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Terry Petrie. I'm the Principal Zoning Inspector for the City of Savannah. And we, this year is the first time that we are doing, or creating overlay districts that regulate uses. And when we created and submitted the West Bay Street corridor overlay district, we ran into an issue that was identified regarding the notification. And so that happened in August. And so that's kind of the genesis of this whole amendment. And so we look forward to presenting those overlay districts at the next commission meeting.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, Mr. Petrie, what was the issue you ran into? The city ran into?
We ran into whether or not we had to amend the. Whether or not we had to do a map amendment in addition to a text amendment, and in the research for that, we found out okay, we need to do a little bit more than we had planned, and that is to amend the this article in.
Any other questions for the applicant? None. Hearing none. I have no speaker card, so I assume that there is no one here to speak from the public. So I'll open it up to discussion amongst the commissioners. Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Been moved and seconded. Please vote. I'll move on to the next item of the agenda, which is a suspension of our public meeting, and we will move ourselves to the next door for a discussion, executive discussion. We'll return back to this meeting for final agenda.
She'll make sure he fixes it. Oh, okay.
I'm calling the meeting back to order of our October 10th, 2017 regular meeting. I think I'm obligated to say that during our executive session, we took no votes on any issue. And hearing nothing else on the agenda, I call this meeting adjourned.